The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 22, Text Number 13, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 19th, 2006, in New Govardhan, Australia.
Saturday we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 22, Text Number 13.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Yaujatam manadritya
kinasham abhyachyate
chiyate tadyashaspitam
manaschavagyayahata.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. One who rejects an offering that comes of its own accord, but later begs a boon from a miser, thus loses his widespread reputation, and his pride is humbled by the neglectful behavior of others. Purport. The general procedure of Vedic marriage is that a father offers his daughter to a suitable boy. That is a very respectable marriage. A boy should not go to the girl's father and ask for the hand of his daughter in marriage. That is considered to be humbling one's respectable position. Svayambhuva Manu wanted to convince Kardava Muni, since he knew the sage wanted to marry a suitable girl, "I am offering you just such a suitable wife. Do not reject the offer, or else because you are in need of a wife, you will have to ask for such a wife from someone else who may not behave with you so well. In that case, your position will be humble." Another feature of this incident is that Svayambhuva Manu was the emperor, but he went to offer his qualified daughter to a poor brahmana. Kardama Muni had no worldly possessions. He was a hermit living in the forest, but he was advanced in culture. Therefore, in offering one's daughter to a person, the culture and quality are counted as prominent, not wealth or other material considerations. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadam Hayam Dadati Svapadantikam. So here we see what is considered a respectable marriage. If the boy asks the girl's father, it's not considered very respectable. It's considered demeaning. Just see how advanced is the Vedic culture. Nowadays, no one would even be so proper to ask. They just want to take the girl, you see. But in those days, even to ask for the girl was considered low class. That would be very high class nowadays if they would ask for the girl. But in the actual system is you just wait until you're asked. Would you like to marry my daughter? And then you say, oh, yes. See, that was the Vedic system. So what is the point of this Vedic system? The obvious point is that it is curbing down this tendency for lust to try to be the enjoyer of this material world. one gets one's satisfaction. But you do it in such a way that you do not become entangled in it. This is the point. After all, we have material bodies, and they require satisfaction. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. We cannot deny the material body. Even though it's not us, that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It doesn't mean that it's not real. The material body is a fact. It's like my car is also a fact. That I am not my car doesn't mean that I will neglect my car. I will just go and kick it and say, you're not going to get any gas and you're not going to get any water because you're not me. Is it? No. I love my car because I can do things for Krishna with it, you see. So I take good care of it. I give it gas, water, put air in the tires, take it to the car wash every now and then. Yeah. You see? So the body, the same thing. This human body is actually a great boon. It's a wonderful thing. Out of so many species, jalajadavalakshani, stavada lakshavingshati, krimayo ruddha sankhyaka, pakshinam dashalakshanam, trinksha lakshani, vashavaha, chatura lakshani, manasha. It's very rare to have a human birth out of all these millions of species that are out there. Very, very rare. So the human body is actually a wonderful thing to have. So we don't neglect, we properly utilize the human body. This is Vedic culture. The human body is one step away from the spiritual platform. After going through all these forms evolving, you see, birth after birth, gradually evolving, higher form, higher form, higher form. The natural progression is, now you're in the human form, the next step is to become self-realized. That is the natural progression. To behave like animal in the human birth, that is unnatural, actually. Very unnatural situation. It is an aberration. It's folly to be wise in a place where ignorance is bliss. In this Kali Yuga, the aberration is considered the norm. To be an animal, shvavidra ushtra karai samstitak purishak puchu na jata karma pato peto jadu nama gadagra jahar. Those men who do not listen to the pastimes of Lord Shri Krishna, the deliverer from all evils, are compared by the Srimad Bhagavatam to be like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. What is the nature of the dog in this comparison? Of course, the dog has redeeming qualities also. He is one of our gurus. But in this example, the other side of the dog is studied. The quality of the dog. The fruitive worker who slaves away, you see, in the university to get that little scrap of paper called MA, BA, BS, PhD, that little scrap of paper. Finally, he gets the scrap of paper after years of struggle. Then he goes begging door to door. Holding the little scrap of paper in his mouth, he comes. He says, will you please accept me as your dog? And he says, no, we don't need you. And Prabhupada said, and his tail is like this. You know, the dog, when he's very embarrassed, he puts his tail down. It's not up in the air wagging, you see, it's down. So he's going with his tail between the legs, you see, with a scrap of paper. You know, he says, I'm qualified dog. Please, will you please accept me? I'm qualified dog. No, get out. You're not qualified for ABC Corporation. So this is dog, you see. Dog, and then vidvaraha. Vidvaraha means a village hog who eats stool. You can give Mr. Hog all kinds of wonderful eating opportunities, but what will he go for? The stool. It's like we have seen in Vrindavan, where they have the open sewers, you see. In the house they pass stool, it comes out into the open sewer, and who is waiting there? The sanitation engineer. And we see the mother with the piglets, the sanitation engineers and the trainees. So, one who has no discrimination in eating, they are compared to the hog, village hog, the stool-eating hog. Shvavidvara ushtra, that camel. The camel is a rather stupid fellow, actually. He loves to chew on the thorns, thinking, oh, they're so delicious. Just love to chew on those thorns. But actually he's cutting his own tongue and drinking his own blood. Thinking, wow, this is great. So one who passes samana, you see, unnecessarily, thinking, oh, it feels so good to pass this samana. The more I can pass samana, yeah, this is life. You see, he's like a camel. He's drinking his own blood. He's depleting his own life energy. And thinking, wow, this feels great. It's like taking a razor blade and going, yeah. You see? So they are compared to camel. Persons who pass samana, thinking this is the life. They're bleeding themselves. One drop of samana, 40 drops of blood. You see? Actually, if that samana is withheld as far as possible. Urdhvareta, it rises to the brain, it gives nourishment to the brain, it gives stamina, resistance against disease, it gives good intelligence for learning the Vedic wisdom. You see, it's very powerful if one can withhold, but these rascal psychologists, they say, yeah, you should just have as much sex as possible, it relieves tension. Such demoniac culture. They have no brain because they have passed so much samana. They have no brain to understand that the samana must be withheld within the body as much as possible. Brahmachari, you see. That is life, brahmachari. Whether we are brahmachari, brahmachari, grihastha brahmachari, vanaprastha brahmachari, or sannyasa brahmachari, brahmachari is life. To utilize the sex only for procreation and for no other purpose. That is brahmacharya, you see. That gives great power for Vedic understanding and realization of the Absolute Truth. And what is the last one given? Kadai, the ass. He is braying, hee-haw, hee-haw, hee-haw. And he is thinking that I am expounding wonderful poetic philosophy. But his brain is simply an agitation. You see? So the human life should not be spent. It should be spent. Tato Brahma Jigyasa. This is how the human life must be spent. To turn on that enlightened consciousness which is dormant right now within the heart. Just like within the match, fire is existing. You have a brilliant bonfire of spiritual enlightenment right there within. We all have it there, you see. But it's dormant. We simply have to strike the match and then the fire comes out. The fire of Krishna Bhakti comes out. So we have to have the proper striking surface, and the match has to be dry. So that dryness means no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. Those are wet things which will not allow the match to light. And the striking process, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By this process, we will actually realize who we are. This is fantastic stuff. This is great stuff that the acharyas have given to us. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. These wonderful, these greatest personalities in the history of the universe have carefully codified and passed on to us this knowledge which dispels all darkness, which brings all illumination to those who seriously hear it and try to put it into practice sincerely. You don't have to be a great qualified person. I know I'm certainly not. All we have to do is sincerely try to do our best to be Krishna conscious. And then all great mercy falls upon our heads, infiltrates our hearts. Simply, we have to sincerely try to be Krishna conscious. That's all. This is revolutionary. There's nothing like this anywhere. This Krishna consciousness movement is incredible. What it is offering to the suffering souls of this age. It's incredible. And we are the small handful of people on this planet who somehow were in the right place at the right time with the right attitude that we could say, yeah, this is fantastic. This is for me. We all know that verse, Manushanam Sahasreshu, Kashtid Yatati Siddhaye, Yatatam Api Siddhanam, Kashtin Man Viti Tatvataha. It's such a rare thing. How fortunate we are. In the second paragraph, Prabhupada is explaining that the qualification of Kardava Muni to marry the princess, the emperor's daughter, was obviously not his worldly position, which he didn't have. He had no worldly position at all. He's a hermit with no possession. But his qualification was culture and quality. So this is something available to each and every one of us. No matter what, no matter where we're coming from in this material world, no matter how much or how little brain power or physical power we have, it doesn't matter. All we have to do is develop culture and quality. We have to try to develop a good quality of Krishna consciousness in our hearts. Sincerely try to develop a very nice qualitative Krishna consciousness, good quality Krishna consciousness. That will qualify us. Just as Kardava Muni became qualified to receive the most wonderful wife, he was given, he had a desire to serve the Lord in a certain way, and he was given full facility to do that because of his quality. So in the same way, if we simply try to develop good quality Krishna consciousness, then we will be given by Krishna and by Krishna's devotees all facility, the best possible facility. Just as Kardama got the best possible facility for household life. You see. Devahuti. We will get the best possible facility to serve the Lord's mission. Best possible facility. Ananyas chintayantamam yejana paryapashyate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogachemam vahamyaham. To those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I give them whatever they need and I protect whatever they have. Can you imagine that if that person who owns absolutely every square inch of the universe, who controls everything that's happening everywhere throughout the totality of existence, if that person is going to personally protect everything you have and give you whatever you need, just imagine. Could you possibly be lacking in anything? Absolutely not. Practically speaking, you become the owner of the universe for all practical purposes. You own everything because the owner now is giving you whatever you need to do your service. There's nothing held back. We simply have to, but the catch is exclusive devotion. You see, that's the catch. You can't have, Krishna is a jealous lover. He doesn't want to share your affection with anyone else. You see, well, I like my sense gratification and I like Krishna. No, that doesn't cut it. You see, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, I know no one but Krishna is my Lord, you see. We have no master, no one that we love, only Krishna. Of course, Krishna means Krishna and his devotees, Krishna and my spiritual master, they are all part of Krishna. Not that we become Kanishta Adhikari, I will only respect the deity in the temple, I won't respect the devotees. No, not like that. But everything is channeled through Krishna. That's a fact. All of our love is channeled through Krishna. That's how we truly love. When every bit of our love is channeled through the Bhakti Yoga system. Every bit of it. As we've heard a million and one times, when you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. So Krishna is the root. So all of our affection must go into this Bhakti Yoga conduit. You see, every bit of it must go. We have to learn how to channel all of our energy into this Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Marg. All must go in that channel. And to the extent that we do that, to that extent, Krishna will be there at every second, giving us whatever we need and protecting whatever we have. To that extent. Ye yatamang prapadyante tamastataiva vajamyaham. So how much do we want Krishna's exclusive protection? That's up to us. Each and every one of us will manifest a certain degree of complete surrender to Krishna. 50%, 70%, 10%, 1%, 99.9%, 100%. That's the individuality that we have. We, the jivas, each one of us can decide at what level we want to surrender. 0%, 100%, 50%. Every one of us has that free choice. How much will I surrender to Krishna? And that's how much we're rewarded. So we can choose how much reward we want. free, we have a free choice. It's a free country, they said. You can surrender to Krishna as much or as little as you want. Krishna says, it's up to you. As you like. I want you to fully surrender, so because I want to reciprocate with you on that level, but Krishna doesn't force. He lets us decide. He's just hoping that we will go all the way. Because he wants to go all the way with us. He's just hoping that we'll go all the way with him. But he doesn't push us, doesn't force us. He simply tries to attract us with his sweet smiling face and the beautiful fifth note on the flute. And those wonderful pastimes, those most incredible pastimes. The cowherd boys couldn't believe what was going on every day in the forest. They were just astounded. They would come home and tell their mothers what was going on. The mothers thought they was making it up. Yeah, these children are prone to exaggeration. Mataji, we were in the forest today. And this big demon came, a huge demon, and Krishna killed him, Mataji. Yes, yes, my dear son. Krishna's pastimes are incredible, actually. Absolutely incredible. There's nothing like Krishna Lila. There's nothing like Krishna Lila. So powerful, so captivating that when Gopi, she told her Gopi girlfriend, my dear Gopi girlfriend, please do not go. If you have any desire to enjoy society, friendship, and love, don't you dare go near the bank of the Jamuna tonight. Because there is this boy there, Shyam Sundar. And he is playing the flute. He is dressed beautifully in his yellow dhoti with peacock feather in the hair. And if you go there and you see that boy, all of your desires for society, friendship, and love will be devastated. Don't go. Do not go. Krishna's pastimes are so powerful. The way he holds his body, that threefold bending form, it's so attractive. We simply have to allow ourselves to become totally, completely captivated by Krishna. Let him completely steal our hearts away by his sweet, loving charms. It's all manifest in the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Everything is there in the name. All the pastimes are there in the name. All the qualities, all the forms, the dham, everything is there in the name of Krishna. The name is not lacking. Nam avatar is not lacking in any way. Everything is in the name. Golokera Prema Dhana Hari Nama Sankirtana. These wonderful names have come from Goloka Vrindavan. The name plane, airplane, to take us back to Krishna. Fly Hare Krishna, it will get you there just on time. So, we can ask now if there's any question. Yes?
You said that anyone could choose.
I'm hard of hearing, speak up.
You said anyone could exhibit a certain degree of pure bhakti.
There's a scale of 0% to 100%. Everybody is situated on that scale somewhere. Certain degree of complete surrender to Krishna. Yeah.
So is it possible, say, for myself, I may have like a tiny fraction of a percentage point, but then I decide, oh, I'm washing in this particular pot, and some inspiration, something I heard, perhaps I might try to do that in full devotion. Is that not helpful, or is that just a mental concoction?
Let's see if I can... My hearing is not working so well. So you're saying that you...
I may try to wash the pot with full devotion. Something I heard may...
Oh, try to wash the pot with pure devotion?
Yeah, just this one pot, I'll try.
Yes, yes, by getting every square inch, you know, completely clean. Yes, that's very good.
That's helpful.
That will... With every step, whatever you're doing, try to do it with the best possible quality, and that will move you forward. At every step, let me try to, just like now, we are hearing and chanting the Bhagavatam. If we try to do that with as much devotion as we can possibly muster, complete focus, total absorption is like Parikshit and Shukadev. Try to come as close as we can, push ourselves. That will bring us further and further along the pathway to perfection. Whatever we're doing, whether it's japa, whether honoring prasadam, whether associating with devotees, whatever we do, try to do it with quality. The best possible quality, first class, in every way, in everything we do. To do everything in the best, most first-class possible way, that'll bring us closer and closer and closer to perfection. Step by step, we'll make steady progress. Any other questions? Okay, we'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.